What's good? This is Trappin' Anonymous. My name is Chris Styles. Welcome back to another episode, a special episode. I'm excited that we're here today, especially because of our guest. This sort of spontaneously came out of nowhere, but I know great things do. So I'm super excited to get straight into this episode. This is Trap Queen Anonymous. To remember that the stories that you hear do not necessarily reflect real life. They are meant to entertain, educate, or just keep your little homie off the streets. This is only entertainment. Don't get me indicted. Welcome to Trappin' Anonymous. Let's get it. What's good?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I don't know if you're like familiar with my episodes or anything like that, but I always get straight into the interviews. I don't like to take the scenic routes. I just want to, you know, how does a woman get involved into the trap life? Such a male-dominated field, what I think would be a male-dominated field?
Well, I feel like I just, like, dealt my cards. Like, this is what I was handed, and that's just what I did. Like, growing up, I didn't want to be like my mama was a nurse. Like, I wanted to be like my dad that sold drugs because it's money, you know? Like, so at one point in my life, I was in love with money.
So your dad was a drug dealer?
Yes.
And so he would show this to you, or like around the house?
No, he didn't like show it to me, of course not. But, you know, like growing up, I remember going downstairs and on the side of the washer, I would see like white bricks. And at that point, little, I didn't know what it was, you know what I mean? But as I grew older, of course, okay, that's bricks of, you know, coke. But I grew up good, like, you know, for the most part, I was born with a silver spoon. You know, my dad had all this money, all these brothers, they got all this money. My mom was a nurse, but, I just, you know, just loved money. I just started loving money.
What was like that first hit that you feel like you got? Like with that first moment you said, oh, okay, this is sort of like what I want to do. I don't want to be like, mom. Like, what was that first moment?
Do you have like as far as me making money or
yeah, like that specific time in your life?
When I seen $1 million.
$1 million? I don't even think I seen a fucking million. Where the hell did you see $1 million at?
I made it. I seen $1 million in say the year, like 2014.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I seen $1 million. I like made my first $1 million.
And how did you do that?
At that time, I was doing cards, so I was doing credit cards or whatever. I was doing Visa Vanilla cards.
Visa Vanilla, what's that?
It's gift cards. So,
okay.
Yeah, but it's cash gift cards, so it's cash. Or whatever, and like, you know, you sell a Visa Vanillas for like 90% or whatever, but it's cash. You pay all your bills, what do you do every, it's cash, it's a credit.
How are you able to run that all the way up to $1 million?
All right, so let's say, like the pieces, so like, you know, I got my credit card pieces, and one piece might do 100,000, and I got 30 pieces. So one piece might do 100,000 in Visa Vanilla cards or whatever, you know what I mean? So it, of course it was over a period of time. It wasn't just like, okay, well just one day I made $1 million.
Right.
No, but that year I did, and I was pregnant. I had my third daughter that year. So I was living a regular life pregnant. My daughter was one in that summer or whatever. But yeah, I made $1 million and it was just like, then I'm like, oh, I gotta keep going.
Who introduced you to the life?
Well, like before I started like doing credit cards, I was always a booster. I've been a booster. Called my first booster charge when I was 13.
It's funny because when I went to pick you up from the parking lot, I literally saw you pop the magnetic strip.
Yeah, you probably didn't see the whole thing, but I took the thing off my jacket.
So you have like boosted clothes?
Yeah, it's not that it's boosting clothes, but it's you know, like I got my I feel like I'm gonna be a booster forever. A pack of soap is $8, $12. For 8 bars of Dove is $12.
Okay.
So I'm not never paying for that.
You can't see yourself.
I don't see myself, Crystal, no matter how much money I got, ever paying for a 8 pack of soap for $12. So with that being said, you know, like that's just what I'm doing. But I feel like I'm gonna always boost. That's my moneymaker, even now. That's just like, you know, my moneymaker. So what you seen was, you seen me take off the piece off my jacket, which This is the, you see me use this.
Can I see that? I don't, is it gonna like my fingerprints on?
No, it's not, no, of course not. They're not gonna come straight. Nah, we straight, we good. Okay. Nah, your fingerprints not gonna be on here. So you see me do that, use that, okay. Or whatever. It took the white, you know, like the, when you go into the store and it has the white, the big white piece, yeah. That's what you see me take off. And then this is the piece that takes off the metal, the little circle pieces, like the magnets. Oh, whatever. So, exactly.
Oh, this is a real powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful, yeah. Like, so, that doesn't go anywhere without me, but that's the charge, though. I done got caught with that a million times, and that's another charge.
Oh, you're not supposed to have this?
No, that's another charge.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a charge, but I have, you know, I do have my businesses. So, with me being a business owner, and, you know, like my EIN numbers, I am allowed to have it because I do sell clothes all the time.
Oh, okay. So, then you can.
Exactly.
But you still choose.
But it doesn't go anywhere with, I don't leave anywhere without this. I go to court with this. This goes everywhere with me. Because you never know. I might be somewhere and I see some shit like, oh, I need that.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, you're 13 years old and.
I'm 13. I'm 13. I'm in. I forgot what grade I was in or whatever. And my homegirl, she came. I had a coat. This is around like the baby fat era. So remember the baby fat coat?
Remember the Kimora? Right,
exactly. So yep. She came to school one day. She had a leather jacket on, but I had my baby fat coat or whatever. And I'm like, where'd you get that from? And she said, oh, I got it from JCPenney. So I said, JCPenney? She said, yeah, I went in there. It was my mother and her mother, who was an older lady. And I took it or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. So right then I'm like, oh, I want to go try to do that. So I went with actually at the time, my homegirl who is like 5 years older than me. And then her neighbor who is like 10, 12 years older than her. But she like a little bit on a, you know, slower side or whatever.
Okay,
all right, the neighbor. So, you know, you're not going to really think that she's as old as she is. Mm-hmm. So we went in JCPenney's to stay or whatever. So I got the coat. That I wanted. As we leaving out, they grabbed me. So now we go upstairs.
Hold on. So the first time you go to steal something.
I got caught the first time.
And that didn't click in your head?
No,
like,
it did not.
Okay.
It actually made me want to do it over and over and over and over and over again.
Wow.
So the first time I got caught or whatever, so now when we get up there, the police don't believe I'm the age that I am. And his exact words were, like, she's a leader. Like, they're following her. But I'm 13. She's like 18 and she's like 30. And then that's how it started, and...
You haven't looked back since?
No, yeah, that's how it started.
What do you think is the most expensive item that you've probably boosted from a store?
I've taken, like, bags, you know...
High-end
bags. Louis bags, yeah, stuff like that. It's been, like, almost 20 years, you know what I mean, so...
20 years of boosting?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So, like, sort of, like, walk me through that moment when you walk into the store and you know that you're going to take something. Like, me, like, I remember I probably stole, you know, a can of soda, and I wanted to shit my pants because what if I get caught?
So now, at this point, it's like, you know, that's my moneymaker. Mm-hmm. So here it is, you know, you got somebody like me, you know, like, where I'm from, I dress everybody. Feel what I'm saying? So... If you come to me and you could get 8 outfits for $100, you can't go in no store and get 8 nice outfits for your kid for $100. You can't go in no store and get 5 pairs of men's jeans and 5 shirts, sweaters for a man for $100. And it's not, I'm not going in, you know, Target or, I mean, Walmart. I'm really shopping, you know what I mean? So at this point, it's like, you know, the money is good. So that's my main source of income.
So that's sort of... I guess what you're sort of saying is like you treat it like a job, like how
it is a job. It is a job. It's a complete uniform, and you know, like she can tell you, you know, like it's I don't leave home without that. Like if you go outside, if you would have said open your trunk, I got bags in the trunk for every store. You know, it's a uniform, or whatever.
Oh wow. Okay.
I'm dressed. I'm not in the store with a bonnet on, and I get up and get dressed. And you know what I mean? Like it's a job. It is my job. Yeah.
Wow. So. I guess you kind of live without fear. It's like you kind of.
I don't fear anybody. We all bleed the same. We bleed the same. If you're a woman, you bleed every month like me. If you're a man, you get shot, I get shot. We bleed the same. I had an argument like 3 weeks ago with the judge because I got petty larceny cases or whatever. So the judge is telling me basically that I'm lying, that they told me to go to Stop Live. And I said, I'm not lying or whatever. And she's arguing with me about I'm lying. I told her, like, you miserable. Because you're telling me I'm lying, but once I end up showing her the paper that this is true, she wouldn't apologize to me. But why do you feel like you're superior to me? Because you're sitting up there with a coat on?
Mm.
You're not superior to me. I don't care what you got going on in life. You're not superior to me. I don't care if you a bum on the street or you a billionaire. You're not superior to me. Mm. So that's just, I don't live with fear.
I sort of want to have that mentality. Like, when I wake up in the morning, I sort of be like, I don't give a damn, but I do. You know what I mean? So it's like, I guess.
I wouldn't say that I don't give a damn because, I got kids. So I have to care about, I care about who cares about me. With that being said, that's my children and my immediate family. But I don't
everybody else could just kick rocks.
That's it. Like, you not talking to me is not gonna, that's, what the fuck is that gonna do? That's not gonna hurt me.
What about karma?
I don't do foul shit to people. So my karma, at a point in my life, let me say this though, when I was scamming or whatever, I feel like I fucked millions of people credit up. You know what I mean? So let's say you've been working on your credit your whole entire life, and now you go to buy a house tomorrow with your wife, your husband, and you can't because I done went in the store and swiped your, so I feel like I paid for that because I was homeless. I was homeless driving a $100,000 car. You know what I mean? Like, I was homeless with $3,000 glasses on my face. Mm. So I feel like I paid for that. And then after that, once I stopped, I done did my bids, I done been to jail, cases. I'm a 3-time convicted felon in New York, cases all over Jersey, Miami, everywhere, but I paid for that. But as far as me doing foul shit, I would trust a bitch that's in the stores and boosting like me every day and that's scamming with every dollar I got before I trust somebody but 9 to 5 because they don't understand the grind. So a bitch like me that's scamming, like that we grinding for that. Like we gotta run it out of stores like a bitch with 9 to 5, she gonna take it. Cause it's like it's not coming as easy.
She there's no honor amongst thieves. And I say that because even when I remember there was a short period of time in my life where I sort of ran with, that sort of crowd. I realize everybody is, like you said, loyal to themselves or to their family. You know what I'm saying? So even as you would trust that thief, mm-hmm. you understand what I'm saying? Them thieves burn you. Mm-hmm. They don't give a fuck.
No, you're right.
You're absolutely right.
But I've never, I feel like me being a woman that I am, I've made nobody relationships with, men, women in the streets or whatever. And I don't got no, my name good, my face card good everywhere. Because I don't do foul shit to people. Me walking in a store, an establishment, all right, that's what I'm saying. This shit is insured. But I would never see, even small businesses. Like I would never walk into a small business and let me take this. I'm not doing that. But I'm gonna go in Saks though. I'm gonna go in Target exactly. But I would never. So I feel like, well, as far as karma, that's I don't do foul shit to people.
Talk to me a bit about the point in your life where you were homeless.
So, I was homeless and I was actually pregnant with my last daughter. Her father had caught this big drug case. So he went to jail.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just said
okay. So he went to jail. I was pregnant with my baby or whatever. We had two cars. He had a 750 and I had a 550. I was leaving my house that I was in. When he went to jail, I'm pregnant, I'm left with nothing. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, I don't want to be out. I don't want to start doing shit because I don't want to go to jail with my daughter because my second daughter was almost born in jail or whatever. I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Okay. So long story short, he ends up, staying in jail for the next 2 years. And I ended up on my sister's couch, from my sister's couch to my mother's couch to all four of my kids on one couch. We were all on one couch together.
Damn.
So I ended up at the hotel, through social service or whatever the case may be. And I got into an incident one day, and the whole time, I'm a strong believer in God, too. That might sound crazy, but I'm really spiritual or whatever. I got into an incident one day, and I was super dirty. I was dirty. I had a whole bunch of counterfeit. I probably had 20,000 in counterfeit money on me. Hundreds.
You had counterfeit?
Yes, counterfeit hundreds. Yes, yeah, probably 20,000 on me. I had pieces, which was fake credit cards. I had IDs on me. I had Percocet on me. Adderall on me. I just came back from out of town. I got pulled over.
I'm sorry, are you selling these things? Or just what you roll with?
So, no, I was working. No, I was working. It was actually, it was a week. It was a weekend. I think it was a Sunday. I just came back from out of town. I'm always by myself. I don't believe in co-defendants. I don't believe in, you know, I don't trust no bitch. So I'm by myself. Anyway, so I had just came back from out of town from working with the counterfeits. And I fucked up because I don't know if you ever heard the saying, don't mix cases. You're not supposed to mix cases.
I've never heard that in my life.
All right, so. So don't mix cases means, all right, I got counterfeits and fake credit cards. That's two different.
Yeah,
that's
two
different. It's too much. And Percocet. Feel what I'm saying?
So you got the drugs.
I was taking the Percocet, I was taking the Adderall, but I'm doing the credit cards and I'm doing the counterfeits or whatever. So with that being said, I'm mixing cases. Something happened. You know what I mean? Like, if I get caught with these counterfeits, I already caught a counterfeit case. Years prior to that, I got caught with $50,000 of counterfeit on me. Again, you can't do it again because now you knew. The first time I didn't know it was counterfeit. You know, you're able to say you don't know it's counterfeit. The second time, no, you knew that's counterfeit, bitch. Well, you knew what you was doing. Exactly. Yeah. It don't work like that. So now, you know, after that, I'm just, as it's going on or whatever, and you know, it's always that one cop that's beasting. You know, like, let me check her back. So I remember I had a fanny pack on, and as I know me knowing the rules of, like, the law, I know that they gotta, in order for them to search me, they gotta call a lady cop. And they can't do a thorough search because at this point, there's no reason for you to search me. You searching me because the windows was tinted. So there's no reason for you to, you know, take clothes off because it's not a felony at this point. So as we're standing there, I'm outside the car. He, you know, the one cop is like, oh, you know, search her back. I'm shoving. I got the fanny pack behind my back, and I'm, like, shoving everything, like, in my ass, literally. So I'm just, like.
You're shoving cards and money?
Everything. Yeah. Oh, that shit goes up in there. Yeah, that shit goes up there.
Okay. All right. We're
so
going to get to
house. I'm shoving it or whatever, and I'm just thinking in my head, like, yo, all I need is for something to drop.
Wow.
Something drop.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
And from that day, I stopped or whatever, and then I ended up moving or whatever, and I ended up getting a house or whatever, and then I wasn't homeless no more. But that day, I stopped everything.
Were you living out of your car? Because it's not like you were homeless by yourself. I feel like...
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. It was. I was homeless with my children.
With your children.
Yeah, with my children. So at one point, I have slept in my 550 before. I definitely have. And I've been kicked out of hotels before.
Like, give me a second, because I got to digest that for a second. And I say that because... You know, we see people, you know, like us every day. We want expensive things. We want nice jewelry, nice cars, and this, that, and the third. And, you know, shit hits the fan. You can't sleep in a Rolex watch. You can't sleep in a 550. I mean, you can, but realistically, you got children with you. They remembering that for the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their life, yeah.
That, yo, I remember that night.
That we slept in a car.
You understand what I'm saying?
I mean, yes, of course.
And so many of us risk everything, and we don't realize what we're risking, but we're risking everything just for, I don't know, to look fly. I don't know, to dress and look good for other broke people.
So with me, it was, I've never been one to, like, I don't to impress others because I'm always, you know, like, I set the precedent. So it's like, bitches follow me. So I don't got to... You know, like, this is me. This is who I am. I don't gotta, you know, try to act like I'm this person or that person. But okay, I do want a nice car, you know. But I had a nice car when I made that million. I was in a Camry.
Wow.
When I was in this, you know, in that, and all these cars, I'm broke. I'm broke in a Porsche truck. I'm broke.
Yeah.
Feel what I'm saying? So it's like the look that everybody's going for is like, what do you really have though? Like, you know, what, after all that money I made, what did I have to show for it? That shit went to bail and lawyers.
Shit. How much did go to bail and lawyers?
Everything goes to bail and lawyers. And then it's like, if it don't go to bail and lawyers, you got so many people around you that you think is your friends, your family, whatever, and they just taking shit from you. Or you gotta pay for this, you gotta pay for this. It's like, yo, where the fuck is my money at? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on with my money? Like, where's my money? But as it's going on, you don't understand that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see it as it's going on. But once time going, I'm like, where my money at? What happened? Like,
I got
you know what I mean? Like,
So the counterfeit money, how does that?
So the counterfeit money.
You print it out? Are you printing it out?
Me personally, no, I was not printing it out. So the counterfeit money, basically they have hundreds, 20s or whatever. Like I dealt with a lot of hundreds. I used to do hundreds or whatever. Basically it's like back in the day, I used to do money orders. So I would go into the stores, you know, get the money orders, send the money orders, put them in whoever name, have them pick up the money, whatever.
So the money order the check and cash in place is taking
counterfeit bills? No check cash in places. No, you do grocery stores.
You do grocery stores.
You do pharmacies, stuff like that.
They don't really know the check.
They don't know exactly. And then you do that, or you do high end stores. And you know, if I come into, you know, I walk into Saks right now. I look, you know, I'm dressed and whatever. I go buy a $10,000 bag. You know, you mixing it in though. So let's save 10 bands. Let's say we'll spend 10 bands. I'm gonna say 9,200 is counterfeit, but they not looking, you know, looking, they not, you know, you got your car keys and, you know, your car key, you got foreign oil in your keychain. They not looking like, oh, thinking it's fake.
So like every little thing.
You have, is accountable for. You have to, it's really, I say like, you so smart, you dumb.
What does that mean?
Like, in like this life, it's like, cause if I'm able to, like, you know, I'm able to do this and, like, I'm able to, when I walk into a store and I can pick out who I'm going to because I can pick out this person just by looking at them, you know what I mean? But, so why are you doing this? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you put this into something else? Like, you're so, because you have to be smart, you know what I mean? Like, it's not something that, you know, your average person can't just walk outside in the morning with $0 and by 12 o'clock at night, she got 100 bands in her pocketbook. You're not, and I'm not selling pussy. I've never sold pussy in my life. I don't ever. You can't do that. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah. So
you ain't giving up your body. It's like,
nah, I ain't giving up no box.
It's funny because it's like it's still standards and morals there. Like it's still some things
that big standards and morals. I'm a mother.
Because people will look at you and they'll say, well, there's nothing that she won't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still this moral code.
No, there's morals. Yeah, I've never, and that's the reason why also like I've created relationships with niggas. Like, you know, like. Niggas know that you're not fucking me. I'm gonna get money with niggas, but we not fucking.
Gotcha.
It's never happening. Yeah. So.
Wow. I just.
With the counterfeits, you know, I've also, I caught a big counterfeit case. It was because of mixing cases. Again, the girl, my worker that I was with, she was boosting. So she boosting. So now they looking at because she boosting. So now when she boosting, they come outside, you know, tackle her down. I had a big ass, I had a big giant, like, YSL, like, briefcase bag. I had, like, 50 bands of counterfeit in there. So this was my first stop, because I was doing returns. So this was my first stop before I go out of town, or whatever. And once they look, and they're like, oh, shit, like, what is this? You know what I mean? So now when I get to the precinct, the Secret Service was there. She knew everything about me already, the lady. And the first thing is, oh, you know, she's trying to make me rat, and I don't believe in that. All my cases, like, niggas could look my shit up. Like, not ratting on nobody. I take my shit. I'm taking my work and shit. I'm taking people I've been locked up with. Like, I'm taking everything. No. So I'm saying, anyway, Secret Service. Oh, you know, you so pretty. Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Or it's him. You know, no, it's not him. It's me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, I done been in cases with, like, niggas where this nigga got one bill on him. He got one counterfeit. Because he got this one, and I got 50,000 on me, our bail is the same amount because I won't tell on him.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Wow. I mean, for you, what's sort of next for you? You know, like, you say you're going to be boosting forever, but.
I say that, you know, like, not even, not to say, like, I'm going to be doing orders for the rest of my life. No, no. I just feel like, you know, honestly, because even, I remember when I came home from jail or whatever, I did 8 months in the county. And I did 8 months in the county for violating probation for a boosting charge or whatever. And when I was in there, it was like, of course, you know, I want to get home to see my kids. I'm an excellent mother. Like, I won't be shit without my kids.
Where are your kids at this point?
They're at home. When, right now?
No, right, while you're doing the 8 months.
Oh, they was home. They was like, I left them home situated. Everything paid up to date. My mom had them at my house, whatever. Like, they were straight or whatever. But the whole time, I'm like, yo, I can't get, I want to go to the stores. So I'll never forget when I did finally get to the stores, it's a rush. It's like, it's a high. So let's say like a dopamine taking a hit, it's a high. Like, I got high. And I remember that. So now, you know, it's days that now, you know, even for me to go outside, I got to make myself go outside. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm getting older, it's not the same. But like I said, that's a moneymaker on top of. Of course, I got my businesses and shit, but, you know, it's just, I feel like the way that, like, the society takes advantage of certain shit is just like, why am I paying for this? Like, I'm not going to wait for it to come from China for 3 months. So I got to go into the store. I'm not paying for that.
What's your mental health like?
I'm bipolar and I have ADHD. Yeah. So, like, I am bipolar, though.
Clinically?
Yes. I take bipolar medication. Yeah.
How long have you been clinically diagnosed, or how long have you been on medication for it?
For, like, 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah. For both bipolar and ADHD.
At what moment did you know that you were bipolar? Did they have to check you into, like...
No, I've never been into, like, a psychiatric ward, but I just was, like, you know, like, my attitude is crazy. Like, I have a really bad attitude, and it's like, why do you have a bad attitude? What happened? What's wrong? Mm. So it's like, 1 minute, I could be fine. You feel what I'm saying? Like, we could be having a conversation. It's like, fuck you, bitch. Like... What's wrong with you? So, you know, once
we don't do that here. Everything is going so well.
So, you know, like once, you know, like it just switched so quick. It just switch up or whatever. And then me just not giving a fuck. Like, I really don't give a fuck. Like, I really don't care. I don't care. And it scares me at times, like, because I don't care. You know, like, but that goes back to, like I said, nobody's superior to me. Like, I don't give a fuck about nobody, like, or nothing. I don't care. And like I said, me having daughters, and I'm seeing that, like, my oldest one, like, she has the same type of mentality. Like, she don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, even though I teach them, nobody's higher than you, you know? Nobody's superior to you. Nobody's, in my head, I'm the baddest bitch in the world. Like, I'm not insecure in no type of way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck how this bitch look or how. I'm the baddest bitch, the prettiest bitch, the illest bitch. I get the most money. That's just me. I feel like I have to think like that. You know, because if I don't, who else gonna think like that? I gotta think like that. I'm not insecure at all.
What was that first night in prison like for you?
It's cold in there. It's freezing. Yeah. But my first time going to jail, I was pregnant with my second daughter, and I caught a case or whatever, and I was boosting. I had a big order. The order was like $1,500. Went into the store or whatever. Long story short, the girl, when I went out, went off or whatever. The people I was with, she didn't do her part that she was supposed to do. You know, taking the stickers off. Went out. The girl came outside, got in the car with us or whatever. So we driving with the girl in the car. The LP girl is in the car with us while we on the highway.
LP?
Loss prevention girl.
Oh,
so
wow.
The asset protection, because when we went out, I went off or whatever from the shit. So the girl I was with was supposed to make sure everything was straight. She didn't. So now we go off, she gets in the car, pull on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I'm fighting the girl. I'm pregnant though. My daughter was born 8 days after this happened. Fighting the girl on the side of the road or whatever. When we pull off, the girl that's driving, she runs the girl foot over. I get home, helicopters, everything is at my parents' house, looking for me. They have my wallet.
Wow.
So I ended up-
It's the little things.
Yeah, exactly. I ended up with, I had kidnapping robbery, first degree robbery, kidnapping, assault, all of this, but they have my wallet, so they didn't know who these girls are. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm pregnant, these bitches gonna hold it down. Nobody held me down. Mm-hmm. I ain't sell. Their karma came though, because they end up catching one and another one end up with another case. They calmed them. The bitches got their karma or whatever. But, you know, it's cold in there. It's cold. It's lonely. It's like, you know, I done fell out with bitches from me being locked up, and I'm thinking that bitches going to not even hold me down financially, because I'll be straight. You know, like, I go in good. I go in my own money. I go in, you know, like, my own drugs. Like, I'm straight. But, just like, yo, hold me down, like, answer the phone, write me, like, go check on my kids, you know what I mean? Like, bitches don't do that. So it's like, at that point, I'm like, I don't believe in friends, I don't fuck bitches, like.
You don't get tired of it, you know?
Like, yeah, it's tiring.
Yeah,
of course it's tiring.
It sounds exhausting.
It's very exhausting, you know, like.
So why not coming stop? Here,
well, as far as like the, don't give, it's not a glamorous life. So, you know, everybody will see the you know, like the glitz of it, and oh, she got this and she got that, and that shit is not worth it. It's not worth it at all. Like, it's very tiring, it's exhausting, it's But if I could do it all over again, I would do it 10 times again because they made me who I am.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't regret nothing. I don't regret no case. I don't regret no indictment. I don't regret nothing.
What would you sort of tell someone that's coming up in the game and they looking at the Chanels and the Birkins and they looking at these girls on the gram, you know, and we know the ones that scamming. What's something that you would tell the girl coming up, like, coming from you with all your experiences? How long has it been? You said since 13?
Yeah, I was 13.
And you're 30-something now?
I'm 32.
So it's like 20 years?
Yeah, I would tell them it's not worth it, you know, like, you know, it's not even, because I went to school. I'm a college graduate. I graduated high school one time. I had my first daughter when I was 16. I had to double up in school or whatever. So it's not even, you know, like, go to school and I feel like, you know, like, when you bored with shit, like, I used to be bored, you know what I mean? Like, and then, like I said, I dealt my cards. So it's like, even, like, with me selling drugs, the first time, like, I had to do that shit was, like, my brother went to jail, and I had to take over his phone. So that's not something that, you
family
know.
Family business.
Yeah, exactly. So I got to take over the nigga phone. Like, his shit can't. So here it is, you know, I'm a female or whatever, and now I'm uptown by myself. I'm a bitch, like, in Harlem on Audubon, like, by myself, like, copping by myself. So, but I had to, though. You know what I mean? Like, because if I didn't, then who would have did? I got to take care of everybody. I'm, like, in my family, like, you know, like, shit was like, if it was handed down, like, Chrissy, you know, you got to do this. You know, you got that. Yeah, you got to do that. Feel what I'm saying? Like, but it's not worth it at all.
A better question, what would you tell that 13-year-old girl that goes into the store for the first time and sort of shoplifts?
Go home. Like, my daughters, I don't hide nothing from them. I tell them everything. Everything. The bad, the good, everything. You ever put your hands on somebody's shit, I don't believe in beating my kids, but don't speak to me. Because you have no reason to, because I did it, so you don't have to. So I lived this life, and I did all of this bullshit, so you don't got to do it. I would tell that 13-year-old girl, go home. Like, it's not, you know, like, it's not worth it. Even, you know, me having kids so early. And my brother told me some real shit. When I was 16, I was pregnant with my daughter. I was 15 pregnant. I had at 16. And my baby father at that time was in jail, and he said, you know, you chasing this life. He said, once he goes to jail, he's gonna always go to jail. And I said, no, what you talking about? No, that's not true. Sure enough, I raised him by myself. Yeah, so.
Where is he now?
Somewhere being a bum.
And this is your baby father?
Yeah, he a bum ass nigga. But yeah. Yeah, it's not worth it. You know, like, go home, you know, do that shit the right way. You know, like, you know, go get a job. But now it's harder because it's just, like, young girls have so much to, like, look at. Like, look at society. You look on social media, and, you know, they might want to look at this, like, this bitch, who ass is fat, titties done, she in this car, she in that, but inside she's miserable and she's insecure.
They don't know
you know
that.
What I mean? They don't know that, though. You know what I mean? Like, so, and this is what I teach my daughters. I don't care what that bitch look like. That bitch is insecure. You know what I mean? Like, she's fucking for money. She's fucking niggas to get money. Like, that's you know, I don't knock nobody hustle, but no, but they don't know that. So now, when I was younger, we didn't have social media. You know what I mean? Like, we had to make a name for how we made our name. It was no social media. But now, you know what I mean? Like, they looking at social media. No.
What's one thing that you regret about your life? I know they say, you know, live life without regrets and, you know, all of these things, but come on, we all know there's some things that, you know, if we could go back, you know, we probably, you know, would do things a little bit differently.
I can't.
No regrets?
Yeah, I don't have no regrets.
Wow.
Like, I don't have none. So I feel like, yeah, none. You know, like, my kids are a blessing. Like I said, I feel like everything made me. Like, I don't have any.
You speak about your kids a lot.
Yeah, I love my kids. My kids is...
What did they provide for you?
Everything. My kids made me. So, like, my oldest daughter, she don't know that. Like, she made me. You know what I mean? Like, I had to become a woman, a mother at 16. Had to become an adult, you know, like, at 16, I left my mother's house.
Well, your mother has a good job. You know, your mother is sort of present, when she looks at you, especially at this young age, and she maybe sees you going astray, does she not try to like wheel you back? Does she?
So my mother.
Or does she give? Does she reach a point where she's just like, you know what? I tried all that I could do.
So, my mother, when I was 16, my mother wasn't with me. My mother had moved away. I was living with my brother, and I got pregnant.
What do you mean she moved away?
She moved. She left me and my younger sister with my brother.
Why?
And she moved. My mother also started early, and I don't blame Anna Fall for anything. And I feel like at that time, you know, she was just like, all right, I need a break. And she moved away with her boyfriend.
Just like that?
Yeah, to Florida.
I need a break.
Yes.
I'm out.
Yes.
What did that do to you?
It fucked me up. And yeah, I'm like, I feel like in a way, like I had my daughter because I was rebelling. You know, like I was rebelling against her. But then when I told her I was pregnant, it wasn't no discipline. It was, oh my gosh, baby, I'm so excited. I'm sending you on the next flight down here. That was it. You know, so it's like, it fucked me up. It really did. Like, you know, for me to be this Asian, you know, like not have my mother here. And my mother was an excellent, mother.
And your father was in the streets, so he wasn't around.
My father was always there. I'm still a daddy's girl. He's always been there. But he didn't know the life I was living. You know what I mean? So my father was, when I was with my brother, my father lived around the corner from me or whatever. He still was paying the bills when I'm mad and everything. You know, like when I got pregnant with my daughter, he came there. You're going to get an abortion. You know, no, I'm not. But
that blunt, 16 years old.
That's it. You going? And I said, no, I'm not. And then after that, he was like, I don't speak to me, whatever, whatever.
And that's where that sort of severed ties.
Yeah, exactly.
So here you are.
Exactly.
Bringing a child into this world. Mother sort of abandoned you. Father's abandoning you. All you have is your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you take up his business.
Yeah. Well, no, that's another brother.
Oh, there's another brother.
No, I didn't do that. I didn't start with my brother's phone until my second daughter was born. So this probably was like 7 years later.
Okay, yeah, but so this, back to childhood, 16. Mm-hmm. So now brother's taking care of you. And
yeah, so I had my brother, whatever. And I remember I moved to Florida, you know, with my mother. Like I said, my attitude.
Is this her first grand?
No, okay.
But it was yours.
Her first, it's her first daughter.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's her daughter's, her first, you know, from a girl, because yes. She got five, so it's, yeah, a girl. Anyway, so I moved down there, and she was living with her boyfriend, you know, so I and her boyfriend together. You know, she had a good job down there. I was in school down there. I remember he came home one day, and he came home from work one day, and he was like, oh, she got to get the fuck out of my house, her boyfriend. And I say this because, like I said, I love my mother to death. Like, I take care of my mother now. She lives with me.
Wow.
My cherished ground, my mother walks on.
Wow.
Exactly. But,
he,
you know, like,
you to get the fuck
she
out.
Tell me to get the fuck out, whatever. And I'm like, what? We get into arguments. So I said, mommy, what you gonna do? And she said, and she said, it's his house too. That was it.
I always thought about that dynamic of, you know, and this has always been sort of like, I guess, like the conundrum of when you have sort of a stepfather in the house with the mother and then the child, when it's time for him to discipline, how does he go about disciplining a child that isn't his?
Mm-hmm. Well, with him, it was, he basically told my mother, like, he don't like my attitude, like, because I don't care. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like,
and you know that about
yourself. Yeah, I know that. Like, nigga, I don't got to respect you, nigga. Like, you a bum. Like, fuck am I respecting you for? So I came back, you know, to New York. My dad picked me up from the airport. He wanted me to move with his girlfriend to, like, this nice big house. At that point, my brother, who had just came home from jail, he was fucked up. He was in a hotel with his girl. I didn't want to move in a big house. I went to the hotel with my brother and slept on the floor pregnant. So I was in a hotel with my brother, with his girl, his baby mother, his daughter, my other sister, and me, and we had two cats, and I'm on the floor, pregnant.
At what point does the I don't give a fuck attitude stop?
It doesn't.
But it has to, right? At some point.
It I feel like it doesn't unless it's about my children, like, because when I do care, I get ran over because I'm too kind-hearted. Like, so even if I give somebody an inklet, they take everything. Like, I could give you an inklet of this kindness and they take what they just run with it. So I have to keep this attitude to protect me because I'm too kind. And then once I get in, I believe in not putting my emotions and feelings into shit, because when I do, if something happens, now I'm emotional about it. You know, like, I can't let my emotions control me.
You come home one day and your daughter meets you there and she says, "Mommy, look what I stole." Mm-hmm. What do you say to her?
"Do you want to go to jail? Like, what did you do that for? Like, what to?"
"I did it because you did it. I did it because I want to be like you."
"No, you're better than me. I didn't know. That's crazy you asked me that, because I asked myself that." Mm. "And what am I going to do? What am I going to say?" And I really don't have an answer, you know, like a valid answer. "Do you want to go to jail? Why did you do that? You can't. I did this so you don't have to do it. I'm out here so you don't have to do this." You know what I mean? Like, the black community is so, you know, like, black parents believe in, you know, like, we got to go. Y'all got to, you know, get out the house. It's time to go. Or it's time to go to help, whatever. If my babies are staying with me today, 40 years old, to get themselves together, that's what I got to do. You know what I mean? So I'm doing this so you don't have to do it. Yeah.
Do you feel like you have to deal with guys that are in the life, sort of guys that understand your trap? Or do you feel like you should find what they call a square, or somebody that has a 9-to-5? And
so I've always been like, that's what I've always been attracted to. I met my husband now because I was like selling work to him. Mm. But I tell him I wish I would have listened to my brother back, like what I said before, because then I wouldn't be dealing with this. Like, you know, of course it's attractive, of course, you know, like you dealing with a nigga and like, you know, he able to go out and buy you $20,000 pocketbooks and cars and yeah, like that's what bitches want, but nah, I don't want that. I tell my daughters that, don't bring no street nigga home. I'm not accepting no street nigga in my house.
Do you feel like the man that you're married to now is a street nigga?
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. All the way. And so how do I tell him that? And this is their father, yeah. You know, he accepts what he's done, and he knows it's wrong, and he knows that he don't want his daughters to be with a nigga like him. You know, but and I hope they see that, you know, like when they looking at, when the feds is kicking at my door and they see I'm crying hysterically and they just looking, and you don't want to go through that.
They witnessing all of that.
They do it all of this, you know what I mean? And wow. It's like, it's a cycle, because I went through it, you know, when they was kicking at my door, my parents' door. Mm. So it's like,
we gotta break these curses.
I gotta break it. Really breaking it by being this person? You know what I mean? Like, how am I breaking it? You know, so it's like, even where I move at or whatever, and where I'm at, I tried to separate them from, you know, where we was at before, but it's the same shit, because they still kicked in the door. You know, I'm still doing it. It's a lot. It's deep, and it's a lot. Yeah. So
that part made you cry. Why?
Because it's my kids. And I don't want my kids to fail.
This is Trappin' Anonymous. My name is Chris Dales. Let's get it.